Magna, quite a nice hospital. Parsha told us is maybe a better parsha for having a boy than for having a girl. At least in Parsha told us two boys were born, but I think there's connections probably anyways to Parsha told us, and it's for having a girl as well. It's interesting, some halachas that come out when people have children that a lot of people are not aware of. It's brought down a halacha that, based on a Rashba, that when a person has a baby girl, they're supposed to recite the bracha Shachianu, and when you have a baby boy, they're supposed to recite the bracha Atoiva Hametiv. This is commonly not done for two reasons. One is ignorance, and the other reason is because people are so busy. There's so much going on when the baby's first born, and you got to make 52 phone calls, and you got to this and that, and make sure everyone hears first. People forget, they just don't know. But api halacha. As soon as possible, as soon as usually possible, there's a discussion in the Acharonim. What happens if you didn't make it right away? You forgot, you were busy. So some Acharonim, Moshe Steinbach has a tshuva, he discusses his notion. He believes it depends, as long as you feel that new fresh simcha, you know, like, you know, the new fresh car smell, you know, same thing with the kids. When you have the new fresh car kid smell, then you can still make the bracha. But a lot of people aren't aware of it. There's interesting, even there's a ber halacha that has a possibility that maybe even grandparents should recite this bracha upon having a baby boy. Maybe even the grandfather should make Atoiva Meitiv, because everyone's so happy with the baby, maybe even the grandparents should make the bracha. But that's something that a lot of people are not aware of. Also, many people are not aware of, and this is at least a machlokes apaiskim. If a lady has a baby, many achrayim held she's supposed to recite Birchas Hagoima, because she put herself in a situation of potential danger. It's quite harmful. I know I signed a lot of waivers before we started. It's got to be dangerous, right? So you have to bench Goima. The time that many achrayim have back is they say it can't be. How could you have to bench Goima? How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you a command or make you go out of your way to put yourself in the situation of danger? It can't be dangerous. It's not dangerous. Some Achrayim have a different spin on it. They think that you don't bench Goyimel because women never bench Goyimel. This is what it's based on a Ber Hetiv, and this is what the Chazanish and Kanievsky family follow. A woman never benches Goyimel.
She could. The husband do it for him.
So that's a shayla if the husband could do it for her. That's not so poshut if you could do shlichas for Bechas HaGoyimel. So many people say women never bench Goyimel.
Well, why?
Why? Because since in order to bench Goyimel, you have to recite it in front of 10 men. So already it's not covered for her to get up in front of 10 men and make this bracha, so that's why women don't say this bracha. But I think the right thing is that women should bench Goyimel. So if you have a baby boy, it's easy, you do it at the bris. You chap 10 people with a baby girl, you have to be a little bit more creative. But I think the right thing is that...
What about
so that's Pashtus made up. Yeah, sure. That's Pashtus made up. Yeah, everyone's very into this. This is like people like the Chigvul Yavar of after a baby. So I found one shot, I found once that the barchu can be the place of the Goyimel. That's what I found one shot based on a Teiras Chesed in Sanhedrin. I found once that the Baruch Hu is somehow b'makim the Goyimel. So I have a much easier eight, so just bench Goyimel. You don't have to worry about the Baruch Hu. But it's not anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. I know people are very makbid on this, but it's not anywhere in Chas or Shulchan.
No,
it's just them with the baby. Someone should them with the baby. But yeah, that's Pasha's not brought down that they have to do that. But Bechaz HaGoyimel is a fear of Shail. I'm not saying everyone holds you have to. But there is such a tzad that women should bench Goyimel after they have a baby. And obviously, if a lady has a C-section, then it's a regular surgery, you always have to bench Goyimel. The other issue with a baby girl is that everyone knows you have to make a kiddush for a baby girl. I'm not sure if that was the caterer's idea or that was actually real, but to make it very clear, the real idea behind making a kiddush for a baby girl is not so much what they tell you today. If you don't make a kiddush for her, she's not going to get married because she doesn't get the mazel tov, all these baba mices you hear out there. I know a girl who never had a kiddush, and we made a kiddush for her at 22 and she got engaged the next day. Right? You love those stories, right? They're also a baba mice. That's not true. So what's the idea of a kiddush? The idea of the kiddush is not because the girls are going to get the mazel tov. It's because it's based on a paiskim in Shulchan Aruch that the reason why we make a kiddush is anytime we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us something special, like a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to give back. We want to give back and show our HaKadosh HaTayiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us something special. That's why we make a kiddush. Which is true if you look in paiskim, it's lav dafka having a baby girl. It's the same idea, right? If a person gets a raise, a person wins the lottery, you know, he gets something big, he gets something really good and something special that he felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamish gave him a gift, that he should also recognize that and give back. So the idea of making a kiddush is not so much because of the brachas that you get at the kiddush, it's not so the caterers can have a business. The idea of why we make a kiddush is it's a reflection of the gratitude that a person has to HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon having a new baby, a healthy baby, you know. A lot of things can go wrong in labor. A lot of things can go wrong in delivery. It's a scary thing if you think about it. You know, the potential of what can go wrong, and when Baruch Hashem everything works out well, it's a reason to give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the idea of a kiddush. It's not so much the idea of the yameis and the brachas and the mazel tov. That's really not so important. The idea behind it really is that you want to make sure that you're giving proper HaKadosh Baruch Hu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the other issue is always with the baby girls, to name the baby girl. Names are a very interesting thing. People get very sensitive with names. Believe it or not. Especially the in-laws, yeah, that's for sure. I should be careful, my mother's probably going to listen to this. In any case, naming is interesting. There's two shayles about naming. First of all, when to name a baby girl. So with a baby boy, it's easy. You name him at the bris. But when do you name a baby girl? So there's a tshuva from the Minchas Yitzchak, he writes in a tshuva, different minhagim, whatever you want to call it, minhagim, or when to name a baby girl. Many people wait till Shabbos, many people do it right away. I always felt the right thing to do is to name the baby as soon as possible. Because it's brought down in Svarim that a baby girl gets her Yiddish and neshama, her Jewish soul, when you give her a Jewish name. So it's important to try to name the baby as soon as you can. Granted, in my situation, it wasn't possible. The baby was born at 3:30 in the morning. By the time I got home, I made it to Minyan. We weren't even sure what we were naming her yet, so it wasn't really relevant. So we named her Thursday. But the idea is a person should name Zahava Bracha. We'll get to that. That's the second half of it. That's the second half of the shmooze. Whenever dealing with names, it gets very sticky of how to deal with names. We named our daughter Zahava Bracha after my wife's grandmother, whose name wasn't Zahava. Her name was actually Zelda. Her name was Zelda. And
go put a kid through that.
I was gonna name her Zelda. My wife didn't like it. So the question is, what do you do with? So my wife's grandmother was very nice, and she was a special woman. So she decided at the end of her life she was gonna change her name, because she knew that no one of the grandkids would name for Zelda. So she named her name. She changed her name to Zahava. She self changed it, and she went on the Ksuba and she changed it. She went up to enter her Ksuba, wrote on top of Zelda. I'm not saying that means anything. I'm not so sure.
Does
if
that void the Ksuba?
I don't. It might actually possible the Ksuba, but okay. I don't know. I'm not getting into that. But so the reason is, so this becomes a big debate when talking about naming. But Baruch Hashem, for my situation, it was much more simple, because I'm not such an advocate for the name of the neshama. My policy is, if we can make people happy. And my mother was very happy if we used the name Zahava, because that's what she went by, the Seif Yomov. And Baruch Hashem, we named her that, and I think it should be a bracha for our daughter. She was a special woman, my wife's grandmother. We have at home, she has Shailos. She used to send to the local Rabbanim of Farakwe. She lived in Farakwe for many years. She used to write letters to Rabbi Forst, Shailos, and he'd write back. To Rabbi Brown, Shailos, and he'd write it back. She used to daven every Yom Kippur. She used to make sure to daven every Yom Kippur, every Shchaydish Yom Kippur Kant. So she was definitely a special woman. So whether or not exactly what happens with neshamas, I definitely don't know. But the idea is that we hope that when we name people for other people, we hope that they should be zeichet to take some of their traits, their good traits, and their midas tovus, and pass it along to the next generation. As we see in this week's parasha, Parashas told us, is the first time we deal with children at risk, as Parashas told us. Because until now, Yishmael, we don't look at Yishmael as really a full child of one of the others. Yeah, he was Ben Avram, but he was Ben Hagar, so he doesn't really count so much. You get the Parashas told us, we're introduced to Esav, it's the first time we really are exposed to what they call today a child at risk. There's much discussion about Esav, who he was, what he was. I still believe, like I once saw in the name of Chaim Kanevsky, I think Esav wasn't as troubled as everyone makes it out to be. I think Esav was nothing more than a Baal Taiva. I think Esav knew exactly what Torah was. He knew what Yaakov was. He knew what mitzvahs meant. That's why he cared so much about the Bechayri. Yaakov knew all of this. Esav knew all of this. He had a big taiva, and because of his taiva, he couldn't control himself, and he did things that were not in line with Torah value. But to say that Esav had no idea, he was a tinnik shenishba. He had no idea what Torah meant. He had no idea what Yitzchak was. He had no idea what the Bechayri was. It doesn't make any sense. He knew good and well what all these things were, but he'd rather do fun things, you know. Not so different than what we have today. The kids today know what's right. They're just not interested because it's much more fun to do the other things. And likewise, we see by Yitzchak, everyone has the impression that Yitzchak was that out-to-lunch father. I always say, everyone has that impression that Yitzchak was like the clueless dad. Like Esav was like doing drugs right under his nose, and Yitzchak did not chap what was going on. Yitzchak was that clueless father that everyone makes fun of, right? Oh yeah, dad, everything's great, and behind his back he's doing cold avara. I don't believe that's the case. I believe Yitzchak was a lot smarter than we give him credit. I think Yitzchak knew exactly what Esav was up to, good and well. He knew it. He knew Esav was playing this game, and he was fooling him, but he played along. Because this way he can continue a relationship with Esav. He knew if he's going to call him on and say, okay, Esav, come on, I know what you're doing. I know what you have under your drawer. I know what you have under your bed. Come on, who are we fooling? That would be the end of their relationship. They would have nothing. At least now, the way the relationship went, it seemed to be a strained relationship. But at least they had a relationship. There was somewhat of a connection between Yitzchak and Esav, even though it was somewhat of a strange relationship, but there was a relationship, because Yitzchak knew that if he's going to just cut him off, they're going to have no relationship. So this week's parasha is when the Torah really gets into how to deal with raising children. And in today's day and age, it's not easy. I was joking with my wife. I said, it's a lot easier to have a girl. To worry about where to send the boy for high school, such a parasha. It's much easier just to have a girl. They're easier. Their schools are more simple. They have obviously issues also, but with the boys, it gets so much more complicated. Learning how to learn, knowing how to learn this, that, balancing that, and everything else. With the girls, okay, they go to school. It's a lot simpler. I think it's a lot easier. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't deal with girls so much.
Dina gets 18.
I deal with boys all day long. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I know all day long I'm hearing from people. We had to send my kid to high school. We had to send your boy to high school today. What to do? Hey, you know? I said, Baruch Hashem, I have two girls. I'll be okay. I have one son also. Okay, we'll worry about it then. I said, tell my wife we'll homeschool him. But in any case, I don't know if that's going to work for me. But in any case, in this week's parashah, really the Torah introduces us to the idea of raising children when the child is not exactly fits the mold, so to say. And you see from Yitzchak that he felt that it was worth it to hold on, so to say, to hold on to Esav and not let him go, even though he knew exactly what he was up to, he knew the games he was playing. Obviously, it can't come at an effect where it's going to affect other children. That's the famous Rashi in the beginning of the parasha. Rashi says that when they walked by a base of Edizara, Yaakov tried, Esav tried to get out, and they walked past Yeshiva, Yaakov tried to get out. Everyone asks the Kasha, where was Yaakov going? He's got the best chavrus he could ever ask for. He's got a malach, teaching him Hashem. Where's he running? Where's he going? So there's two classic answers that are given. One answer they give in the name of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, because that very nice, he had a good chavrusa, but look who was sitting next to him. You can have the best chavrusa in the world, but if the guy sitting next to you is a troublemaker, you got to get out. So that was why Yaakov had to leave. Yes, he was learning Torah from a malach, and it was beautiful, and it was wonderful. But Esav was sitting next to him. He was poking him the whole time, trying to get him to battle. Come on, how much are you going to learn when Esav is poking? Reb Avadya Yosef suggests a different possibility. Reb Avadya Yosef suggests that that Yaakov wanted to learn Torah. He wanted to toil in learning. He wanted to harva in learning. He didn't want it spoon-fed to him. Obviously, we're talking about a fetus. It's a little hard to understand these things. But in the world of fetuses, says Reb Avadya Yosef, he wanted to work in learning. In the being fed by the Malach wasn't what Yaakov wanted. Yaakov was Ish Tom Yoshev Olam. He represents the Torah. He wanted to work on learning. He wanted to come out and break his head over Kinyan Agav. He wanted to break his head on Rashi and Taisus. He didn't want the Malach telling him the answer to the ending. How's it going to end? Or Rashi Taisus, he tells it to us. He didn't want that Yaakov. Yaakov wanted to toil learning. He wanted to tumla learning. He wanted to work hard on learning. So that was the difference between Yaakov's idea of learning. That's why Yaakov wanted to leave. But the whole idea of the whole pregnancy of Rivka is a fascinating, again, not for today's conversation, but the whole idea of Rivka's pregnancy was a fascinating story. Whether or not, what exactly Rivka thought was going on. Pashup Shat, Rivka thought that this tefillah, this pregnancy was a special pregnancy. This was a prayer-induced pregnancy. This was a pregnancy that was so infused with bracha from Hashem. There's no way it doesn't make sense that things are going to go smooth. So that's why she couldn't understand why things are not going smoothly. Why doesn't this make sense? She knew this was Miyad Hashem. As the Mefarshim pointed out, she wasn't able to conceive. She knew she wasn't able to conceive. She knew this was completely a blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a blessing, it doesn't make sense that it comes with all these estrangenesses to it. That there's all these issues. It should be a normal, healthy pregnancy. That's why she was so concerned. So that's why she went to shame. So the Mefarshim asked, why didn't you go to Avraham Avinu? So the biggest threat in life. You don't want to bring your dirty problems to your family. That's why she didn't want to go to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was a grandfather. He doesn't need to hear what's going on, the complications in her pregnancy. He doesn't need to hear that. Why do you want to bring it to him? Rather bring it to shame. Shame, at least, was an outsider. You don't want to bring all your problems. A person's having trouble. They don't want to bring all their problems to family. The other pshat, I think, is very important as well, is because even though Avram might have been a bigger kol matam chacham, but shame was older. You see, sometimes in life, when you want to know what's going on, you go to the elderly. You go to those that have been around longer. Shame lived longer than Avram Avinu. He saw more. He experienced more. He's been around more. He knew more. Maybe Avraham Avinu technically maybe was a big Talmud Chacham. You could debate it, but over here this wasn't a question of Talmud Chacham. This is a question of experience. I want to hear. You were around longer. Tell me, what have you seen in your years? Is this normal? Is this a common occurrence? Tell me, and I want to hear. So you see from the Torah a very valuable lesson when being shoyel eitzim. Many times people run always to the biggest Talmud Chacham. Okay, big Talmud Chacham are very good. If you want a halachic shaila, sometimes if you want advice, you should go to those people that have been around a long time, which is why the Gemara in Kedushin has a havamina that you have to stand up even for an elderly amoritz, an elderly guy. Why do you have to stand up for these people? So Rishonim say over there, because they saw a lot. They experienced a lot. They saw a lot. They've been around a lot. Those types of people that have been around a lot, they know a lot. They've seen it. So therefore, you should stand up for them. Even though they maybe don't know a lot of Torah, they're not very knowledgeable, but they're worthwhile standing up for them. That's what the Torah is telling us, why Yitzchak took his issue. Just very quickly, the Mefarshim asked, why didn't Avram and Sarah daven for a baby? Why is this the first time we're seeing someone davening for a baby? Why didn't Avram and Sarah daven for a baby? So there's two answers given. One of the answers they say is because Sarah knew she was unable to have a baby. She had no rechem. She had no uterus. She knew it's impossible. It's a basic science. You know, science 101, biology 101. Without a uterus, you can't have a baby. So Sarah said to herself, why am I going to bother davening? It's a no-go. It's impossible. So she said, it's a tefillah shav. It's not even worth davening. Rivka, as opposed to the other, and Rivka, al pi derech hateva, should have been able to conceive. Why didn't Rivka conceive? So therefore, she davened to Hashem. Rivka would have what we call today in the medical world, unexplained infertility. Made no sense. No one knew why. They didn't know why she wasn't able to conceive. So she davened then. Baruch Hashem, she was answered. As opposed to Sarah, Sarah made sense. She didn't work. She was missing some of the basic fundamentals to be able to conceive. The other pshat that they bring down in the name of the Nesiv HaShalom, which is very, 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 very important. Not that I claim to understand it, but he said the difference was Sarah and Avraham Avinu were so close, connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Hashem didn't give it to them, it's because they don't need it. Why should I go daven? Hashem gives me whatever I need. So why should I go? If Hashem wanted me to have a baby, he'd give me a baby. The fact that Hashem didn't give me a baby is because I don't need a baby. Again, this is obviously a big chiddush to say and a big level of emunah, but that was the way Avraham and Sarah lived their life. If I need it, I'll get it. If I don't need it, then I don't need it. You know, I know some people that give brachas to people, they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you whatever you need. Not whatever you want. We want a lot of things. But the bracha, the best bracha we can get is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us whatever we need, not whatever we want. So Avraham and Sarah felt they obviously don't need children. If I need it, Hashem would give it to me. And that's an unbelievable way of living our lives with emunah, to see that whatever we have is because we need it, and whatever we don't have is because we don't need it. And that's pshat in last week's parasha. That Avraham Avinu says, Hashem beirchas Avraham bakel, machlokes in the Gemara Baba Basra, if he had a daughter or not. So one pshat is he didn't have a daughter. Frekta Ramban, what type of bracha is it not to have something? So Ramban said, you see for me something very valuable. Sometimes not getting something is the biggest bracha in the world. Not getting it. Because if Avraham Avinu would have had a daughter, he'd have no one to marry her off to. It would have been a whole mess for Shaduchim. Bigger crisis than we have today. So therefore, Avraham Avinu said, thank you Hashem for not giving me a daughter. So sometimes you see the Ramban says that sometimes not getting something is the biggest bracha. We always look at it the other way. We always say, why didn't I get it? Says the Ramban, sometimes not getting things is really the greatest bracha we can get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. We left off over here in Kinyan Agav. I wanted to wrap up Kinyan Agav, but I ended up deciding last night to give a whole different share than I was going to give today. I don't know if that was such a good idea, but we're in middle of Kinyan Agav over here. I want to spend some time today trying to figure out not so much the lumness of Kinyan Agav, but more discussion of the nature of Kinyan Agav. For example, we had a Gemara in Kedushin Daf Chavav. The Gemara in Kedushin introduced us to the idea of a Kinyan called Kinyan Agav. What's Kinyan Agav? Very, very basic. Basically, if you want to buy two things, one is land and one is metaltalin. So the halacha is, if you make a kinyan on the land, you get the metaltalin as well. There's a discussion in the Gemara, does it have to be piled up or not? The Gemara comes out, it doesn't have to be piled up. The last piece of the puzzle, which we'll hopefully see next week, is what do you have to speak out that I want to acquire this with this? That's a discussion in the Gemara, Machlokes Rishonim and Blineda, we'll get to. So the Gemara learns this whole big chiddush of kinyan agav from a pasuk in Navi. Pasuk says, Dr. Gemara number one, Minar and Emilia, how do we know this whole idea called Kinyan Agav? On the Chizki Dan Akra, Vayita Lehem Aviyam Atonois, Im Orei Mitzurois Biyuhud. The Gemara says, we learned from a Pasuk, it says he gave them gifts with the cities. So you see that they got the Metaltalim with the Karka, so you see something called Kinyan Agav. The question that we need to discuss today is, what type of Kinyan is this? Is this a Kinyan Deraisa or is this a Kinyan Derabanan? You'll ask me, what difference does it make what type of kinyan it is? It makes a huge difference. First of all, let's say a guy wants to be mikadosh and isha with kinyan agav. A real lomdus shagat. He wants to be mikadosh and isha with kinyan agav. So what does he do? He tells the lady, here's a piece of land, and there's metaltalin as well. I want to give you the piece of land, make a nice kinyan on the karka, and you'll get the money as well, the metaltalin as well. Can a man be mikadosh and isha through metaltalin on the second part of kinyan agav? Again, the man gives her a piece of land, she makes a kinyan on the land, and then he says to her, oh, by the way, I don't want the kedushin to be with the land. I want the Kedusha to be with the Metaltalin. So now you'll have the Metaltalin. I want you to be Mekudeshes with the Metaltalin. Does that work? So it should be totally a little bit in how do we understand the Kinyan of Kinyan Agav. Is Kinyan Agav a Kinyan Derabbanan? Or is Kinyan Agav only is a Kinyan Deraisa? So Pashup Shah, you'll say, it can't be Deraisa. It's only from a Pasuk and Navi. The problem is, we know, that I think someone even mentioned this in the share a few weeks ago, we know that many Kinyanim that we use today on a Deraisa level come from the Navi. Chalipin, Shtaris, many of our good old-fashioned kinyanim that we use today on a deraisa level come from psukim and nevi. So then the question is, so it's okay to be a pasuk and nevi, but here the question that many achreinim say is maybe this whole pasuk is only what we call an asmachta, whatever that term means. Belineda, we'll see today our unbelievable chiddush from a Ridvan Rosh Hashanah had to find asmachta. But whatever that means, an asmachta, what it means is only derabban. So the first...
If you take the Rambam on face value,
correct. The same thing, right, 100%. So if the Rambam is going to tell you that Kedusha Kesef is Derabbanan, he's for sure going to tell you that this is Derabbanan.
But then it works.
And it works, right.
So the fact that it's Derabbanan...
So the question is, are we going to start getting ourselves mixed into over here of Kol HaMekadosh, Dei Derabbanan, Kol HaMekadosh, Afkin Rabbanans? Those are all some of the things we need to talk about today. Likewise, if we remember back to our sugya, the reason why we got involved in this in the first place, because we had a Rashi, Gittin, that learned that a lady can acquire a get through Kinyan Agav. But if Kinyan Agav is only Kinyan Rabbanon, so Midaraisa, she never owned the get. So Midaraisa, she's not divorced. How does it work? So that's part of what we need to get into. So in order to answer this, we have to start off with the Gemara Baba Kama.
Why do you assume that?
Assume what?
Because she didn't acquire it Midaraisa, it doesn't mean she's not divorced Midaraisa. She acquired it Midaraisa. But once she acquired it, now.
Well, that's a fundamental hakira.
So then
how do you look at kinyanei derabbanan? This is a very famous shaila in Rishonim.
Once she owns it, then
Kivega has two pieces about this.
If you steal something from somebody that it requires something.
Oh, that's a shaila.
Did you steal it from them?
So again, if you hold, let's say it's a kinyanei derabbanan, which means as far as Hashem is concerned, this is meaningless. So does that mean that the midrashim are not divorced?
Doesn't mean that's right. Hashem gave the chachamim the ability to give.
So that's based on the premise. You're assuming that what we call the terminology that you're using is kinyan derabbanan mahani lederaisa. Whenever you have to do something on a derisa level, and we'll talk about this today in a couple of years, it comes up with ma'aseh sheni, it comes up with chametz on Pesach. Let's say you want to sell your chametz to the guy, and you want to use kinyan agav. Can you use kinyan agav to sell your chametz to the guy? So you'll tell 1 second, kinyan agav is only kinyan rabbanon. So mid rabbanon, the chametz belongs to the guy. Mid rabbanon, the chametz still belongs to me.
What if I acquired the chametz originally last week before Pesach with the rabbanon? Do I have to sell that chametz?
On a derabbanon maybe. Yeah. It'd be the same shayla. A derabbanon versus a derabbanon.
Any derabbanon is the raisa says, the Torah says that it's
treated. That's the question. That's the fundamental question over here. Is that true? Is that what they said?
Right.
They explained it. And the question is, to how far is it going to go? Okay, so these are all very fundamental shayos that we need to deal with. So let's deal with the first issue. It's the Gemara and Baba Kama Daf Yud Beis. Very interesting Gemara. We know that throughout Shas, the Gemara has a discussion, what is the status of Avadim? And throughout Shas, there's always a big discussion, what is the status of an Eved? Is an Eved viewed like a piece of karka? Or is an Eved viewed like Metaltlin? How do you view an Eved? So you'll ask me, what difference does it make for our sugya? And our sugya is very negeya. Why, says the Gemara? So the Gemara, Abraisa. Hichzik be'avodim. Let's say a person makes a kinyan in avodim, and he wants to sell two things to his friend. He wants to sell him an eved, and he also wants to sell him a metaltlin. He wants to sell him two things. So can you do kinyan agav with land and get metaltlin on the side of it? So the Gemara says two braises. Hichzik be'avodim, loikana metaltlin. If you make a ma'aseh kinyan on the avodim, you don't get the metaltlin. Be metaltlin, let's say you make a ma'aseh kinyan on the metaltlin, loikana avodim. That makes sense. Frank the Gemara Vatanya, we have another brisa, Hichzik Bavodim Kana Metaltlin. We have two brises. One brisa says, if you make a Maisa Kinyan on the Karka, on the Eved, you'll get Metaltlin along with it. And the other brisa says, if you make a Maisa Kinyan on the Eved, you don't get Metaltlin along with it. It's a contradiction. So, Frank the Gemara, my lab, how come if you have no, I'll tell you, Psha and the Machoikas. The Marasav Ravodim Kimikarka Domi, one holds that Eved is like a piece of Karka, and therefore Karka has Kinyan Agav. So, if you make a Kinyan on the Eved, you get the Metaltlin with it. Marasav Ravodim Kimitaltlin Domi, the other opinion of the Gemara is no. Avodim ever did a metatlin, and metatlin doesn't work. Agav metatlin. Why doesn't metatlin work? Agav metatlin. That's something we need to talk about when we get to the next phase of this discussion of the lumdus behind it. But the simple answer may be because it's not similar to the pasuk. We're working off of this pasuk. The pasuk says it was cities with property, so it's got to be cities and property, not property and property. Second Gemara, no. Amarev ikur. Yeah, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to all that hopefully in a second. Amr of Ika Breder of Ami, the Kuliyam Avodin Kimikarkadom. Says the Gemara, no, I take that back. Really, everyone holds Eved as like Karka. Aye, 1 second. If Eved's like Karka, so why doesn't Kinyan Agav work with an Eved? So, the Gemara, I'll tell you Pshat. So now the Braisa that says it does work is very good. Because you're machzik the Eved, Eved's like Karka, so you have Kinyan Agav. That Braisa that says you're not Kaina, why not? The Gemara says, you're right. We treat Avodim like Karka. But every time you look into the Torah, where the Torah is discussing Karka, you have to know what element of Karka did the Torah want. When it comes to Kinyan Agav, says the Gemara, that it's Mistavar, logically speaking, that the element that they wanted was it should be land that doesn't move. They don't want land that moves. They don't want a halachic status of land. They want land that's loy naidi, that doesn't move. Movable land is not what they meant. Why? We could discuss, but that's the point of the Gemara. The point of the Gemara is that even if you hold that an Eved is deemed a piece of Karka, it's not enough Karka to use Kinyan Agav. It's like Karka. It's not Karka, and therefore you can't use Kinyan Agav with it. Why, Sukta Gemara? Because it's Loi Naidi. Now, what's interesting from this Gemara is, it means the Gemara is taking the Pasuk very literal. It's looking into the Pasuk in Nach, okay, we'll call it Nach, and saying it, 1 second, it's got to be like the Pasuk. Meaning, if the Pasuk would have said that they gave them a matonis im karka. They gave him gifts with land. So you could tell me, well, an Eved, it's called karka, it's good enough. But since the pasuk went out of its way to specify what this was, it was arim, it was cities. Cities, we know, are not just land. Cities are loinaidi, they don't move. So you see that the Gemara is makbid on taking the literal translation of the pasuk, even though, as we'll see, if this pasuk is only an asmachta, why do you care so much about the pasuk?
What's the difference between cities and land? I mean, what land moves?
No, if it would have just said the word karka, so let's say
they're not karka, they're doma la
karka. Right. So if it would have said the word karka, so then I would have said the Torah's hakpada is on the shame karka, anything that's called karka. But here the Torah didn't say that. The Torah said city, so we know what cities are.
Maybe
so,
it's only those cities.
Yeah, that's right, right. That's always the question with these types of drushes. So now, maybe it's only right, right. Maybe you can't
maybe
use
it. Has to be populated area.
Right, right. Exactly. How far is this going to go? That's always the question when we start to nitpick in a drusha. The question is, where do you start and where do you end? It can go forever. That's always the problem that we have to have. So this gemara is important because this gemara comes out that really avodim could be like karka, but nonetheless you can't use kinyanaga because of a technical problem that needs to be it has to be not movable. Tosfos over here in Baba Kama number 3 makes a very important comment. Taisva says over here, Afogav de Bekama Duchtin, Ashkechan de Mekarka Domi, even though we know many places in Shas that the din of Evid is like Karka, then you know Shvua, Aymeri de Hochaloi Ari El Bamili de Rabbanon. Says Taisva, yeah, this Gemara is on a Rabbanon level. Uligvois miyasmi, the Gemara is talking about over to whether or not you can collect from Yisaimim, Umelakuchais, Visava Shabudalav de Raisa, because you hold Shabudim are not Mederaisa, Veloi Ligabe, Ella Mederabbanon. Ulinyan Prosbol, the Kenyan Agav, the Havi Nami Midrabbanan. Says Taisus, this whole Gemara's discussion is on a Dirabbanan level. We're not talking Deraisa, we're talking strictly Dirabbanan. How did the Rabbanan treat Evet? Is Midrabbanan Kikaraka or is it not? We're talking about Agav. Agav, I thought it was Deraisa. Says Taisus, Agav not Deraisa. Agav, the Havi Nami Midrabbanan. Agav is also Midrabbanan. Now, if we'd stop right here and we'd say, why is Agav Dirabbanan? So we'd say, Akv, it's a Pasuk in Navi. That's not what Taisv says. Taisv says, you know why Agav is Dirabbanan? Because Kro Da'ar Mitzuris Asmachta Ba'almahi. Meaning, Taisv is okay with it coming from the Navi. That doesn't bother Taisv. It can come from the Navi and still be Deraisa, Chalipin, Shtaris. What bothers Taisv is that he thinks that this Pasuk is really an Asmacht. Midaraisa, that's not what this Pasuk means. Midaraisa, there's no such thing called Kinyan Agav. The whole Kinyan Agav was made up Midrabbanan and we have what's called an Asmachta from a Pasuk. That's Shita Sataisis of Baba Kama, which is likewise the Shita of the Russian Baba Kama, that the whole idea of Kinyan Agav is a Kinyan Dirabban, which means, Fize, when a person does Kinyan Agav, mid the Araisa, he never made the acquisition. So back to our original question, the Taisir Rush writes this Mefurish in the Sugya. The Taisir Rush writes that a man would be Mekadish and Isha with Kinyan Agav. Again, he says to her, here's a piece of land. I want to sell you, I want to give you the piece of land, and I want to give you the metatlin as the mode of kedushin. Says the Taisir Rosh, it should only be a kedushin derabbanan. It's not a kedushin deraisa, because only midrabbanan does she own that piece of metatlin. Midraisa, she doesn't own it. Because the whole kinyan agav is only derabbanan. Midraisa, this thing doesn't exist.
Why isn't the karka the kesef kedushin?
He doesn't want it to be. He's not interested. It could be, he could. He's not interested in giving it to her.
Now, well, sure, he is giving it to her. How is he giving it to her?
No, but he doesn't want that to be the kesef kedushin. He can give her a gift all he wants, but it doesn't mean that's what makes the kesef kedushin. You can give her a gift. It doesn't mean that's what he wants to use for the Kenyan.
This whole case doesn't make sense.
Why?
Because he's giving us.
First of all, he could also, worst case scenario, he could be mashal her the karka. He could lend her the karka, which means he won't give her the karka as a gift. He'll lease it to her. He leases the karka.
That agav works.
That does work. We mentioned this in a few shurim ago. Right.
That at least makes
right.
sense.
That's at least right. in the right.
Why do we care how the transfer works as long as she ends up with the metatlin for the kedushin?
Well, if the way we look at it is that she only owns it on the rabbanim level, and as far as the Kosh Baruch Hu is concerned and the Torah is concerned, she doesn't own it, so then how do you have kedushin over here? Because if the kinyan only works the rabbanim, which means midaraisa, there was no transfer of ownership whatsoever, so then she doesn't own it. That's the question. When we talk about kinyan de rabbanim, whatever kinyan de rabbanim you want to use, that means technically on the raisa level, she doesn't own it, or whatever the story may be. That's the question. Do we treat a derabbanan on a level? Let's say you need something deraisa. Let's say lulav. Lulav on Yom Rishon needs to be lachem. And I give it to you on a kinyan derabbanan. Will you tell me that's lachem? The Torah says it's got to be yours. As far as the Torah is concerned, this is not yours.
The Torah also said we have to treat the rabbanan
like is that what the Torah said? Or the Torah said you have to treat the rabbanan as derabbanans. And whatever derabbanans mean. It means they have rules and regulations, but doesn't make it pushed up a notch to be now a deraisa. That's the big fundamental question in our sugya. So Taisus Shita and Baba Kama is very clear that Kinyan Agav is a derabbanan. One second, Rabbi, so we had a Rashi in Gittin last week, or probably last month already, where Rashi says that the way the Isha was kind to get in our story was through Kinyan Agav. Kinyan Agav? I thought Kinyan Agav is only Kinyan derabbanan. So how was she kind of, how was she Migureshis Midaraisa with the Kinyan derabbanan?
Yeah,
So the Chayyur, that Rashi in Gittin has to argue on this Taisus.
Isn't there a Rambam that says that every Drabbanan is really a Deraisa?
That's called being Oveloy Sosser. That doesn't change the ownership element. It might be what Issa you were transgressed, which means if you don't listen to the Rabbanan, you're even Issa Deraisa, which is fine.
But as far as making it...
Pashtas not. That's Rabbi Kivager. Rabbi Kivager has quite a long discussion in two pieces in Chuvah to Rabbi Kivager, one in Reish Chaf Aleph, and one in Reish Chaf Beis, in Chelek Aleph, in Arachayim, where he discusses this discussion at length. A Kinya de Rabbanan doesn't work for the Eraisa or not. He has a whole discussion. He has a piece from his son, Shlomo Eger, a whole ride back and forth from Rishonim, whether or not a kid. And this is negated to a lot of things. This is negated, for example, let's say you want to sell a Bukhar. It's negated to Mechiras Chametz, which we'll talk about later today, I hope. And it's negated to, let's say you want to sell a Bukhar. The halach is that certain Isurim on an animal that's a Bukhar. You don't want to deal with it, so you sell it to a guy. Well, how do you sell it to the guy? So can you do Kinyan Agav to the guy? Well, 1 second. If Kinyan Agav is only the Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan, he owns him, the Rabbanan, he doesn't own it, well, that's not going to work. That's a big discussion in the Rishonim.
In general, when you do it with Goyim, you need a Kinyan?
Anytime. If you're going to transfer something, that's the big joke I have, right? There's always a tumble how to kasha the Kurigs. Right? So some people say they don't have to kasha. So I know people that tell me, it's okay, they sell it to a guy. Fine. I said, which Kinyan do you use to sell to the guy? They look at me like I'm crazy. I said, it's not a magical trick that you say you're selling it to a guy. You got to make it real. You got to sell it to a guy. You got to learn the sugyas.
It's like
Yeah, it's like any other time you sell things to a guy. It's got to be real. So you got to figure out. Kesef, shtar, chazalka, mashicha. The Keurigs, the coffee machines. So there's a shayla had a kashrut. It doesn't need it to be toivled. I'm sorry, you need a toivled. So some people say they don't want to deal with the whole shayla, so they sell it to a guy. Which is fine. I'm not saying that's, whatever, it's a shayla, but I'm not saying it's not manageable. But you got to make sure you do it right. If you're going to sell it to a guy, you got to use one of the various kinyanim that work for a guy.
Rashi can still hold the agav after a bana. It holds like so. So you don't need a kinyan, though,
right? He holds you don't need a kinyan. You don't need a kinyan at all.
Right.
So then, 1 second. So why Rashi say kinyan agav?
What for the other reasons that we give.
Yeah, but where was your nesina then?
The
Nesina
was the desk or whatever. The
Nesina was there was
a Kinyan Darabana, but that's enough. Maybe that's a Nesina Daraisa or a Kinyan
Darabana. I mean, the fact that you have a Kinyan Darabana, that's enough to make it, like, as if you made it with Shusa. Yeah, I think there are ways around this Rashi. I think we'll get to it in a second. The Tzoyis actually brings this Rashi as a right to his Yisoid, that he thinks that Agav is a Daraisa. Oh. He says Agav is Daraisa, Haraya Rashi and Gittin. Huh? Okay.
It's going to take a little bit of Darabana. Torah says, "Look, you do it al Tzagav, and now being the kind that's only the Rabbanan, is there such a mitzvah? I thought the Rabbanans were only Gedarim to basically ensure that he will go ahead and perform the mitzvahs deraisa. So why would I even bother doing a mitzvah the Rabbanan al Tzagav for Lulav? Either I could do it deraisa, I'm going home.
No, my question is when you used a kinyan the Rabbanan, does that mean that the Torah views this as owning it? That's an example. The first day.
Who knows?
That's the shayla.
I mean,
that's what we're debating over here.
How we'd ever be poached that shayla.
Right. So
honestly, the answer is I always thought the rabbanon was there to ensure that the oraisas are performed properly.
That's one element of their job.
Creating a whole different level of mitzvos over here that are only the rabbanon. The dafka, not the rice, if you hold that particular
sheet. Well, that the idea.
The Rabbanan Jew?
Well, but we know that the Rabbanan definitely do mitzvahs, right? We know that the Rabbanan instituted the, Yom Tov,
right.
Hanukkah, Purim. These are all mitzvahs of the Rabbanan, right?
Right, but they're only the Rabbanan.
Right, they're only the Rabbanan. There's no element of the rice to it.
The
correct.
And saying, hey, it was your judge, it was a great Rabbanan.
Right. That's always the tricky part. When you deal with Yom Tov Sheni, let's take an example.
Yeah,
how far do we go with these types of things? You know, is it the Rabbanan made it up? Or is it Ketan Daraisa ticking? These are big conversations.
Well, Shaila, I want to ask you about the guy that he only holds Daraisa.
Right.
In his house.
Right.
Specifically for Lulav Ons, but that has an implication.
I had a guy once come to me, he told me he wanted to learn Hilchas Nida by me. But he told me he only wants to learn the Raisas. He doesn't want to learn any of the Rabbanans. So I told him, I said, I'm sorry to tell you that every time you're being over the Rabbanan, you're being over the Raisa as well. So you might want to learn both. But in any case, back to the question at hand. Yeah, like Sosu, maybe it's Machlokes Rishonim. It's not a good idea to learn, live life like that. But in any case, Taisus and Shita Bava Kama is very clear that Kinyan Agav is only the Rabbanan. However, there's a Taisus and Kedushin which we learned together, actually, way back when. With Tyson Kedushin Daf Hey has an interesting kasha. The Gemara in Kedushin is trying to figure out how do you know Kinyani by Kedushin? How do you know Shtar and how do you know the other Kinyanim? So the Gemara has a whole list of Kavachimers over there. So Tyson's over there in Kedushin Daf Hey asks the obvious question. Frank Tyson's in Taimar. The name of Kavachimer Mikarkois. Why don't we make a Kavachimer from Karka? She'ena Moitzias. You can't use Karka to divorce a woman. Afilo Achim Machnisis. And you can still use Karka to buy a woman. Pirish. The Adam Yachal Kadish Isha Bakarka. A lady can be married with Karka. The Adam is Kareshis Bakarka. And I have a beautiful that if Karka is strong enough to make a marriage, that should be able, and Karka can make a marriage and Karka can't divorce. So Taisu says over there, no, there is a pirch on Karka. Karka can't be worked into the equation of getting the Kedushin. You know why? Because karka is different. Because karka has what we call kinyan agav. So the Achronim point out from this Taitzvus, if the whole kinyan agav is only kinyan derabanan, what's mishtarain over here in the pirchas? These pirchas are trying to figure out kinyan derais. We're trying to figure out how do you know midarais or shtar works, how do you know karka works on a derais level. And you're going to throw me a pircha from a derabanan? What type of kasha is that? So the Achronim want to say that from this Taitzvus in Kedushin, you see Taitzvus that agav is deraisa. And therefore, since agav is a deraisa, it's a stira to Taisus and Baba Kam, which is what the Gilyan Ashas writes in Kedushin. If you look in the Gilyan Ashas and in Baba Kam on Daf Yud Beis, he says, look at Kedushin Daf Hei. So if you look in Kedushin Daf Hei, you see this Taisus. This Taisus seems to be a stira to whether or not Taisus holds agav is the Rabban or agav is the deraisa. There's one more Taisus in Baba Kam or Kuf Dalet on the days where their Taisus also seems to be mashiv that Kinyan agav is the deraisa. So it's not clear what Shitas HaTaisvis with regard to Kinyan Agav. Does Taisvis hold Agav as a Derabonon, or does Taisvis hold Agav as a Derais? Now, yeah, that's easy way out, no question.
I don't understand this,
yeah.
I don't want to get too sidetracked, but this whole comparison, it's my inin Shmita Itzalar,
yeah.
What do you mean, Kaka doesn't work for divorce? It's not relevant, it's not yeah, that was, at all.
That was the whole Dafei. Yeah, that was the whole sugi, right? The Gemara talks about that the bia doesn't work for divorce, right? We talked about all these very funny svaras, right? There's a whole discussion over there, Daf Hayam Aleph, where we talked about some of these interesting svaras over there in Kedushin. Maybe it's time for Chazara, I don't know. Maybe we should go back to Kedushin. Akoponim, it's a stir in two taisvus. There's a ritva in two places. There's a ritva in Daf Chavav in Kedushin, and the same ritva is found in Baba Kama, where it's not clear how to learn the Shitas ritva. The ritva starts off like this, number five. Zok to ritva. U Baba Kama muchach tzas b'shmeitza, da agav da avodim. She ain't din agav min atori elma the rabbanu cross machta ba'alma. Says the ritva from the Gemara Baba Kama that we just read, it's mashma that agav, at least with regard to avodim, is not the raisa, but it's only the rabbanu. I don't know where he saw that. Umisham hachi, and therefore says the ritva, ein metatla niknin agav avodim. That's why you can't have avodim together with metatla. The 90, because they move. Ava pi sheim ki karakaris min atori. Now, I don't really know where the ritva saw that from the Gemara Baba Kama. We read the Gemara Baba Kama. There's no mention of this in the Gemara Baba Kama. But he ends off, Mihu lav raya gemurahu, the ikalameim or the agav de rice. Maybe says the ritva agav is really de rice. Vafilu hochi e metatle nikten agav avodim, shem de havami karkoi de naidi, because at the end of the day it doesn't fit the narrative of the pasuk. Mushum be'in on dumi de arim bitsurois v'leka. It has to be similar to arim bitsurois, and it's not. But agav, of course, is de rice. Vizehu das mayri, and this is the das of my Rebbe. The Rebbe of the ritva was the ra'ah. Whether or not he wrote the Sefer Chinuch is debatable, but he was definitely his Rebbe. The Rebbe of the Ritva was the Ra. So the Ra is of the opinion that Agav is Dei Reis.
Is Ritva saying Agav in general is the Rabbanon or Agav by Avodim is
the Rabbanon? So it sounds like he's... It's what? But why? Why should it be any different?
Because Evid is different.
So here's the issue over here. If you learn like Taisvis in Baba Kama, that Agav is only the Rabbanon. So the question one can ask is, so then what's pshat in the Gemara? The Gemara says that you can't, even if Avdo Kimikarkadomi, you still can't use Agav by Metalflin with Avadim because you need to have Dumi to the Pasuk. But I don't understand. If the whole idea of the Pasuk is not real, because it's only an Asmachta, so why do I have to be like the Pasuk? Bishlama, if the Pasuk would be a Din Daraisa. So then I hear the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that on a Daraisa level, the Pasuk is Daraisa. You gotta go with the Pasuk and read the words in the Pasukim. But now that you tell me the whole Pasuk is only an Asmachta, why do I have to bother reading the Pasukim? Why does it have to be Daimit to the Pasuk? The whole Pasuk is Asmachta. Why am I trying to fit the Pshatim into the Pasukim if you just told me the Pasuk is only an Asmachta?
It's still a basis of the.
So this is a very fundamental shayla. What does an Asmachta mean? So the Ritva writes in Rosh Hashanah, it's on the bottom, at number 10. A must-see Ritva. The Ritva writes in number 10, he says like this, Shekol ma sheyesh lo asmachta min haposuk, whenever you find an idea called an asmachta, and this comes up all over Shas, says Ritva, Heyer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shiro'u Lassus Kein. And asmachta means that this is Hashem's way of telling us he wants it to be this way. Elo shloi kavu choyva. But for whatever reason, he didn't write into his Torah. Umasvei lechachamim. Instead, he gave it for the chachamim to create. There's a dover bor ve'emes. The Ritva Shita is that asmachta doesn't mean that, it doesn't matter. We all think asmachta means like really the Rabbanan made the whole thing up, but the Rabbanan didn't want to be such a Baal Mechadish, so they went to look into the Torah where they could find the source and hang their hat. Says Ritva, that's not the pshat. Asmachta means that this is Hashem's way of telling us, I want it to be this way. If Hashem wanted it, why didn't he write into his Torah? Kasha, I don't know. But this is unbelievable. But he writes, the like divrei hamefarshim, not like those who say, ha asmachtoi shu kederich simin, shenosnu chachamim, not like those people who think it's just a simin, you know, the chachamim made this up, and they wanted to have a source, so they blame it on the Torah. It's not true, says the Ritva. V'loyshe kavanas atari l'kach, and not because, meaning, the other way of learning a smach means it's not really what Hashem wants, it's what Chazal want, but we kind of can stoop it into the pasuk. Says the Ritva, chas v'sholem yishtakei adover. V'loyoymar, shezu das minus, the Ritva mamas thinks it's up because it's to say that. So the Ritva sheet, at least in Rosh Hashanah, is that the idea of an asmach is not the pshat, well, it's really the Rabbana making it up. No, no, this is Ratzon Hashem. If so, so then the Ritva makes a little bit more sense. Ritva l'shitosim. If the Ritva holds that it's only, if the Ritva, you can learn this Ritva if you hold it, it's the Rabbanan. So the kash was, if the whole Kinyan Agav is the Rabbanan, why do you care so much about the wording of the Pasuk? The answer is because asmachta doesn't mean you negate the Pasuk. Asmachta doesn't mean, well, do what you want. Asmachta means that this is Hashem telling it to us through these words of the Navi. So then it should be the right. Well,
sure it should work the right. Whether it is the
so
right.
So that's the idea. That's the idea. Sometimes there's a concept in Achrayim that some asmachtas are treated like a deraisa, and according to this Ritva, it makes a lot of sense. Why? Because an asmachta is a fancy way of saying Ratzon Hashem. Now this is the idea over here that there's an Aruch HaShulchan like this in Hilchos Shabbos that there's something called what we call Ratzon Hashem and Tzivoy Hashem. Sometimes Hashem told us his Ratzon through his Tzivoy, and sometimes we got to work backwards and figure it out on our own. So here, it says Ritva, that's what Asmacht is. Asmacht is Ratzon Hashem without making an explicit Tzivoy. So if you learn like this Ritva, so then it makes much more sense. Why do we care so much about the wording of the Pasuk? I thought it's an Asmacht. The answer is, so what? Being an Asmacht doesn't mean you throw out the whole Pasuk. Being an Asmacht just means that we have to take the words of the Navi very carefully, because that's the Ratzon Hashem.
He doesn't say.
Obviously, in his times, we're showing him. He thinks it's wild to think like that. Again, it's negated to all those geshmakas sugyas whenever you have big asmachtas. Amir Lenochri is one of those big sugyas where Amir Lenochri is predominantly assumed to be an asmachta. So, the question was, that means? That means the Raisa, the Rabbanan. A whole discussion over there in the Paiskim. So, the Ritva Shita seems to be clear, at least in Kedushin, that he's open to the idea that it's the Raisa. Now, there's one more piece of Ritva, number 6, in Shita Mikubetzas, in Bab Metzia Daf Mem Zayin. Those of us that are doing Daf Yomi know that the famous machlokes, how are you kind of things between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? Ma is kaina, is Mashiach is kaina. So, the Shita Mikubetzas asks in number 6 a very basic kash. The kashli, the Rabbi Yochanan, matonas metatlin, the leka ma is bema yikne. The Shita Mikubetzas is quoting a Ritva. How is a person, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the only way you're kind of things, metatlin, is with money? So the Ritva asks, so how do you ever give a gift to your friend? There's no money exchange. You want to give your friend a gift. How do you give it to him? What mode of kinyan does he get? According to Rabbi Yochanan, the only way to acquire movable objects are through ma'is, with money. So what do you do when you give a gift? So no more gift giving. You can't give a gift to anyone. Every gift has to come with money. Says the Ritva of Tirtzu B'Taisus, the ma'id Rabbi Yochanan matana. You're right. When it comes to gifts, Rabbi Yochanan agrees, the kibbutz like a ma'is, the kind of mashicha. Even though normally Rabbi Yochanan holds you can't use schlepping, if I want to give you, sell you a book, I got to give it to you with money. I can't move the carry the book. But if it's a gift, where there's no option of money, then you can use mashicha. That's Taisus's answer. The Ramban Omar, the af matona ain't a niknis el b'chalipin, oy b'chatzei roy, oy b'agav. Says the Ramban, no, you're right. Your cash is a good cash. The only way to give a gift to someone would either be through chalipin, chatzo, or agav. K'dechse v'yit el amavim matonis rabbis imarem b'tzuris. So the Achrenim want to bring a raya from this ritva that he held it was deraisa. Now, it's not muchach. His cash was, how do you ever give a gift? So the answer was, you give a gift through agav. So you can follow up and say, one second, but if the whole agav is only drabbanan, so you tell me they only give a gift to rabbanan? The answer may be, yeah, in a chlami. If you want to give the gift to midrabbanan, but the answer is then, mashiach is also drabbanan.
What's an afghan?
What does that mean?
Same thing. Again, if I give you a gift midrabbanan, and you want to then turn around and be makadosh and isha with it, or you want to give, turn around and be makdish it, would you be allowed to?
Right? But when it becomes yours, doesn't it change
right.
the status?
What?
When it becomes yours, doesn't it change the status?
What changes? If your whole ownership is only rabbinically allowed, so then midaraisa, you don't own it. That never changes. You can use it all you want, but midaraisa, you still don't own it midaraisa.
But didn't he, wasn't he miayash on it by giving it to you? So that's so almost closer to hefker.
Maybe you'll tell me. Right. Maybe you'll tell me every single time you have to be making hefker.
Well, yeah. I'm giving it up. Right. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving up my rights to it.
Yeah, but
it,
what right? kinyan do you make on it then?
Now that's your kinyan to be making it.
Yeah, but what kinyan do you make? But he holds Mashiach doesn't work for Metatlin.
But what about for Hefker?
It's the same thing. It's not going to help. We have the same problem.
How do you make
maybe he would say the same thing like Metatlin. There's no option of money.
Right. It's the same. You'll have the same kasha.
Well, how would you ever make it?
You have the same kasha that the Shidduch with. So either you'll answer like Taisviz that when there's no other option you're allowed to, or you'll give like the second answer that you'll have to either use Chatzar. Agav gets a little tricky, right? Agav by
Hefker.
Okay, that's what we got to get to later today somewhere in this book over here. We'll get to Agav, but Chatzar, you'll have to do Chatzar. You'll have to roll the thing into your Chatzar if you want to be kind of Hefker.
According to this, there's an implicit appeal on the money.
Yeah.
So it's as if you got the money.
Yeah, but again, you still need a Meisekin for that. As long as that sounds.
That's
it's the a, money means. Maybe. I hear maybe. I always found that when we talk alumnus abayla, someone ends up losing. That's all I found out. Whenever there's alumnus involved in money, someone loses money, that's for sure. So this is the shayla. So they want to bring a right from this mitzva, Ramban, whoever you want to call it, that they hold taka that a kinyan agav is a kinyan derais. The problem with all of this is that there seems to be rayas in Gemara's kamat mefurish that agav can't be derais. For example, the Ktsais over here brings a number 8. He brings a Gemara in Baba Metzia, which I think the Zafiemi just recently probably went through. The Gemara says like this. In number 8, the Gemara talks about a case where a guy is trying to be paid to his Maisa Sheni. He wants to get rid of his Maisa Sheni, but he doesn't have any money. And he doesn't want to have to pay the Chaimish if he's paid it himself. The guys are really cheap. So he wants to get rid of it. He wants to be able to transfer it to his friend, and therefore he won't have to pay the Chaimish. So the Gemara says like this. He realizes that he doesn't have any money to transfer to his friend to be able to make the pigeon. So the Gemara asks Akasha, let him give it to his friend through Agav. Frank Gemara, be makna the payers, the money, whatever it is, to your friend through Agav. This way your friend will own it, and you won't have to pay the extra fifth for a poida. So the Gemara answers, the less like Karaka. Make Gemara send a kimta, he doesn't have any land. Frank Tzoyis, and let's say you do have land, and you would do Kinyan Agav. Kinyan Agav is only the Rabbana. Means Midaraisa, this was never transferred. We're talking about Dina Daraisa. Being poida or not being poida a fifth with Maisa Shane is not a Dina Rabbana, it's a Dina Daraisa. So how could Kinyan Agav even help over here? I thought that Kinyan Agav was only the Rabbanon. So says the Ktsais, oh, I have a riot from a Gemara in Bam Mitzia Daf Mem Vav, that Kinyan Agav is a Kinyan Daraisa and it works for Dina Daraisa. He says, then says the Ktsais at the bottom of number 8, in the last piece, he says, Miyu Midivrei Rashi Shekasav to get Nikna Agav Karka Mash with the Agav Karka Daraisa. Says the Ktsais, I'll bring you another raya from Rashi, our old Rashi. Rashi says that Isha was created to get through Agav, Yavis is the Daraisa. The Shomlai Shaykh had time with the Hefker Bezen Hefker. You can't use Hefker Bezen Hefker over there. Right? She's got to own it. So if she doesn't own it, it gets not chal. Elamai says the Ktsois. Rashi she does Agav as a Kenyan Dei Reis.
Yes.
Okay, good. Then he goes further. He says, V'efsher b'shem d'chola ha-mekadish adayit d'rabbon ha-mekadish v'akur rabbon ha-lekadush ha-mineh. Maybe you can get an easy way out of Rashi. Maybe there's really no riot to Rashi. Maybe really Rashi holds Kinyan Agav with a Kinyan Rabbanon. I'll ask you, if it's only Kinyan Rabbanon, how does this work? Because we have a principle called Mekadesh Adayit Rabbanon Mekadesh. When a man gets married to a lady, he says to her, I'm going to do whatever the rabbi say. Rabbi say I'm married, I'm married. The rabbi say I'm not married, I'm not. Whatever they say is what I do. So here also, since the rabbi say that you're divorced, because the rabbi say that the get is Chal Mid Rabbanon, so call Mekadesh Adayit Rabbanon Mekadesh.
What I do, Afkinu, what the Torah do?
Afkinu Rabbanon L'Kedushim Mineh. The Rabbanon have a power to pull away the Kedushim.
So
that's a shayla. Well, does this mean that she doesn't need? Is the shayla that she's not really divorced? I'm afraid she was never married. It gets tricky. So the question is whether or not you have a raya from Rashi Shita. Now the Beis Halevi has a piece over here where the Beis Halevi says, "What do you do with the Gemara from the Ktsois? The Ktsois brought a starker raya. The Ktsois brought a raya from the Gemara and Bam Metzia that regard to Maisa Sheni, which is a din dar raisa that Kinyan Agav works. What do you do with that?" So the Beis Halevi says, "I have very two simple answers. Either Kinyan Agav is dar raisa." Says basically, I have another raisa. Kinyan derabbanan, mahani lo deraisa. Says the basically, there's another easy way out. The easy way out is that the whole principle is not true. This idea that a kinyan derabbanan can't affect deraisa is just not true. Kinyan derabbanan could affect deraisa. So therefore, says the basically, that's going to be totally how you learn this gemara, which is a big discussion in later achrenim, whether or not a kinyan derabbanan can affect on a deraisa level. Why is this nageya to a kinyan derabbanan affecting on a deraisa level? Because there's a piece over here in the Urim Betumim over here, where he tainas that Kinyan Agav doesn't work by a goy. Big chiddush. Can't use Kinyan Agav by a goy. If you want to gift something to a goy, you can't do Kinyan Agav. Why not? So if you look at number 11, why not? So he says over here, the number in the bottom, number 11, he says, the Kinyan Agav ain't a big goy. You can't use Kinyan Agav by a goy. Why not? Why can't you use Kinyan Agav by a goy? Dim loy kein lomo loy tzivir rabbeinu tam bahar shol shol goy lahaknas agav karka. Do kinyan hanog bahar shol v'yoyse moyo l'kam advarim shein sudam moyo. The cash is based on Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was trying to figure out how to get things acquired and he never uses Kinyan Agav. Okay, let's put that aside. What I want from over here, look at this piece over here. Why should Kinyan Agav not work? I don't know why Kinyan Agav shouldn't work. Oh, says the Urim V'Tumim, I'll tell you why. He says, you know why? K'may shikasav ha-taisis, because of the pasuk, we don't find anywhere. Back to using the storyline of the pasuk. So the Ritumim thinks you go back to the storyline of the pasuk. And if the storyline of the pasuk was only Jew to Jew, so it can only be Jew to Jew. Now, if that's true, so then you got to go back to all the psukim in the Torah and say, well, kinyan kesef, Ephron and Avraham Avinu, oh, Judah Goy. So you can only do kinyan kesef, Judah Goy. It's a very shvera thing to say that you're going to mamish take the storyline of the people involved in the story. But the Urim Tumim feels very strong that you can't use kinyan agav by a Goy. Why? Because it doesn't fit the narrative of the storyline. Now, you'll ask me if the whole pasuk is only an asmachta, why do we care so much? The answer is based on what we said earlier from the Ritzvah. Now, there's another pshat in the Achreinim. The reason why we don't like to use agav is because if you hold agav as the Rabbanon never instituted it by a Goy. If you hold that the whole Kinyan Agav is really the Rabbanon, the Kras Machta Balmuhu, so then the Pshah is, you know why you don't have Kinyan Agav Be'egoy? Because Chazal didn't want you to have Kinyan Agav Be'egoy. They felt it wasn't right.
And this is you acquiring from the Goy, or the Goy acquiring from you?
If you want to, well, either way, you want to make an acquisition with the Goy through Kinyan Agav. For example, let's say you want to make a big deal. You want a big business deal. You want to sell the Goy, you know, 20 properties, right. And you also want to sell him some metalatolin. So you say, you know, I'll make one kinyan on the karka, and you'll get the metalatlan as well. Says the Zachrin, it doesn't work.
But what's an afkamina if it's not a good kinyan? So
he doesn't really own it. You don't really own it. Whatever it is, ownership.
You care. Right? He thinks he owns it.
He doesn't care. For halachic purposes, you're still the owner. Mm-hmm. For example, if you want to, you know, I guess. If you do Mikashi, you know, it would be yours. If you're Mikashi with that property is still your property, even though you thought you sold it to him. Or vice versa, depending which way he goes. But the point is, for halachic purposes, this is not a good mechira. You can't sell these things to a guy. So why is this so relevant? This comes up legabe Pesach. When you want to sell chametz to a guy, can you use kinyan agav to sell chametz to a guy? So it's interesting, if you go to the next side, it's very, very bekitzer. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah says that you could use kinyan agav. Next time you add a mechiras chametz, or today you can watch it on YouTube even, you can watch mechiras chametz on YouTube, you'll see that they use every kinyan under the sun. Kesef, Shtar, Chazaka, Mashiach, Daisa, Tkias, Kaf. They use every kinyan you ever learned of in your life in Shas. They use. So one of the kinyanim, what about kinyan agav? Kinyan agav might be the easiest. Because let's say, for example, you have a lot of chametz. So you just you sell to kinyan agav. Now again, you don't want to sell the guy your property. You're mushal. You lease to him the property. And he owns the property and he owns the chametz as well. So can you do kinyan agav for chametz? And Mishnah Berurah writes in one place, in Siman Tov Mem Ches, Mishnah Berurah writes, he says, what about kinyan agav? The hainu shimka lenochi karka oi cheder oi yaskeloi v'agavon yoimeloi kinyan chomet shesh makam akarka. The kinyan agav kan afilo ein tziburin. You could do it. So Mishnah Berurah here says it works. There's another Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah is very hesitant to use any of these kinyan. And the Ber Halacha has a long discussion that the reason why he's so hesitant is because Lamaisa, that those achareim that hold, kinyan agav doesn't work by a guy. So if kinyan agav doesn't work by a guy, how can you use kinyan agav by chomet? So the Chassam Sefer on the footnote over here, number 12, he says, what are you so worried about? Chomet, hefker bezin hefker. Bishlomo by kedushin, you're worried about how do you make the kedushin chal. But chomet, what are you worried about? If it's only the rabbanon, it's a how I still own it. No, you don't. Because worst case scenario, that it's only the rabbanon, it's hefker bezin hefker. The rabbanon have a right to say you no longer own it. So if the rabbanon say you no longer own it, you're not over it's about your rabbi matzah. So when it comes to mechiras chametz, tainu dechsam sefer, you have less of a problem. Because even worst case scenario that it's only kin of the rabbanon, so what? It's a kin of the rabbanon. The rabbanon have a power of hefker bezin hefker. By a get and by a kedusha, you don't have that leeway. But by chametz, which is a mamonist issue, you have hefker bezin hefker. So what does hefker bezin hefker mean? That I don't longer own it. Beautiful. If I don't longer own the chametz, I'm not over by your rabbi matzah.
Do you only not own it? Midirabon, no. Midirais, you own it. No, goes back to the same fundamental issue. The same issue you told me.
Hefker bezin hefker means that Bezdin has a right to control all mamonist rulers.
But midirabonim, they have the right to.
And that's a big chakiru. Exactly how far does it go? The other shah is, can hefker bezin hefker make something mine to yours? Or can hefker bezin hefker just say, it's not mine? That's a big chakira of Rashba and Gittin. Mr. Shem, next week we got to get into the last stage of this discussion of does agav work from hefker? And then the last part of the sugya is, what's the lumbus of kinyan agav? We talked a lot about the guidelines, but pashat, how's this work in lumbus? And again, then bring it back to our sugya, and hopefully then we'll be able to move on to the sugyas and Gittin.